الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. We start with سورة الملك. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we start by recognizing that all power lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He made life and death as a test. And He is so perfect in what He has created. Look at the sky. You won't find a single irregularity or crack. And He made the stars to beautify the sky and to protect it. And the people who are disbelievers, they will be in a hellfire that is boiling, that has a terrible sound, that is furious. And it will be asked to them that didn't a messenger come to you? And they'll wish that they had listened and admit their folly. And those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be forgiven. He knows the secrets of people, even what is in their chest. He created us after all. And He has given us so many blessings. For example, He subjugated the earth so that we can walk on it and we can eat from it. And then we're asked, are you not afraid that He can make that same earth swallow you up or send down a wind with stones? And remember that past nations also have been destroyed. And if you want to understand His power, just look at the birds. Who holds them up except for Allah? And who can help or provide sustenance other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And is the one who's prone on his face equal to the one who walks standing and upright? He made us, and He gave us hearing and sight and our hearts and our intellect, and He will resurrect us. And they ask, when is the hour? I mean, Allah knows. But when it comes, that these people are going to grieve. And the Prophet ﷺ is told that if he dies or not, regardless of what happens to him, how does that affect you? I mean, how does that save you from the punishment that's coming towards you? And so we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah, and that is that, it is that Allah that if He decides to take water away from us, then who can bring it? Then we start Surah Nun. Over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defends the Prophet ﷺ and praises him. He confirms that he says that you're not crazy and you will have a great reward and you're on a high character and high ethos. And we'll see who's demented. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Don't follow these people, though they desire for you to bend towards them. And these are people who have such bad character. They're harsh, they're slanderers, transgressors, sinful. And just because He's given them, you know, good things in this world doesn't mean anything. Just because they have wealth or they have children or power. And this person, you know, when he hears the Quran, he'll call it like, oh, these are just old tales. And such a person will be branded on his snout. And their similitude is like that person is of the people of the garden. Like there, and this is sort of a long story, a backstory, but imagine that there's a garden, and there was actually a real situation in which this occurred, but, you know, picture a garden, and a person said that we're going to go and get our fruits from there in the morning, and they didn't say inshallah, and they wanted to go sneakily, and so that they could just take all of it for themselves and not give to the poor the same way that their fathers had done, or their father had done. And when they go and find, when they go there, they actually find that it's all been destroyed. So one of them says, and the one who is more highest, you could say from them, says like, why didn't you glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the other day? And that at that point, they're gonna realize that they were wrong, and they will start blaming each other, and then they're gonna have hope that they'll have something better with Allah. And the punishment is like that. I mean, the Prophet ﷺ, he was a blessing. He's like that garden. But when he's taken away and the punishment comes, it'll be too late for them to people to benefit. And on what basis are they rejecting the Prophet ﷺ and behaving in the way that they are behaving? Is it because, you know, good people and criminals are equal, that you can treat them in the same manner? Is there some book that you have that tells you that you can do whatever you want? Or do you have it in writing or an oath from Allah that will stand until the final day, that you can make whatever rules you want? Or do you have some partners with Allah that give you sanction to behave like this? But when the horrors of the final day will be revealed, it will be told to them prostrate. make sajda, and they won't be able to. They won't be able to do so. They had a chance to prostrate in the dunya, but they didn't. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, leave me alone to deal with these disbelievers, and He will take them slowly, step by step, into the hellfire. And why don't they believe? It's not like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking them for money, or they have some knowledge of the unseen. So just wait for the order of your Lord, and don't be like Yunus alayhi salam. And they try to put the evil eye on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Allah will protect him. And so this is just a reminder for them, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would just remind them. Then we come to Surah Al-Haqqa. This surah talks about the Day of Judgment, and it talks about the how Ad and Thamud were, how they denied and were destroyed, and the same thing that happened with Pharaoh and other denying nations, and how Nuh alayhi salam was saved on the ship. And then we're told about the scene of the final day when the trumpet is blown and the earth is crushed and the sky bursts and the angels come carrying the throne. And you know, no one's secrets are going to be hidden on that day. Some people will get their book in their right. They'll be showing it off. They'll be exultant and they're going to be in Jannah. But those people who will get their book in their left hand, they'll wish that they were never given their book. And their wealth and power will be useless. They will be seized. They will be shackled. They will be burned. They won't have any friend to help them. And for food, they will have the oozing liquids of the other denizens and inhabitants of the hellfire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a soothsayer. He's not a poet. And if he were actually making this up, I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one is above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, no one is as powerful as him. And if he wanted, he would actually seize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he could end him. And this is just a reminder. So woe to the people who are kuffar. This is truly the truth. And glorify Allah. Next we come to Surah Al-Ma'arij. These people ask when the punishment will come. But when it comes, they can't repel it. So be patient. It's close. The mountains will be like wool, and the sky will be like dregs of oil. And people will ransom themselves with anyone. Their wives, their children, anyone. Just so that they can get out of trouble on that day. But the fire, when it comes, it will scorch their face and their organs. And the fire will call the denier, the hoarder, the stingy, the one who's scared, but not the ones who used to pray and spend and believe in the final day and act accordingly. And these are the people who used to protect their private parts and fulfill their trusts, and they used to stand witness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, why are these people running away from you, Ya Rasulullah? You know, does everyone desire they're going to be entered into paradise? I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is certainly capable of exchanging these people with someone better. So just leave them alone, playing around until when the final day comes. And when they come out of their graves towards their Lord, with their eyes lowered and in disgrace, you know, and then things will be clear. Next we start Surah An-Nuh. And Nuh alayhi salam was sent to his people to warn them and to worship Allah. And as much as he called them by day, it only increased them in their running away. I mean, he called them for 950 years. And they would literally put their fingers in their ears so that they couldn't hear him. And he called them openly, he called them secretly, he called them incessantly. And he would tell them that if they seek forgiveness, they'll have so many good things. You know, they'll have rain, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them wealth and children. And that he asked them, why don't you respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he created everything around you? And then finally, because these people didn't believe after so long, he complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the people who would actually tell their own people that don't leave your false gods. And because of their sins, they're going to be punished. And there will be no one to help them. And he asked not to leave a single one of them behind, because they would mislead others just the same way that they were misleading other people for so long. And then he asked the Nuh alayhi salam asked forgiveness for himself and for the believers. Then we come to Surah Al-Jinn. Over here, the jinns, these are the believing jinns. They heard an amazing Quran that guides to the right thing. And so they brought belief in it. And they said, don't make shirk. And they didn't think anyone would be so bad as to lie on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why they had fallen in shirk before. But when they came and heard the Quran, iman entered into their heart. And they were also sort of confused because men used to turn to these jinns and worship them, so increase these jinns in arrogance. And they didn't think that they would be resurrected. And they used to go before to the heavens and used to snatch news from there. But now they found that it was guarded. And so they couldn't go and listen and snatch the news the way they used to do before. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarded the heavens so that when the revelation came, that, you know, it would come, there would be no there would be no contamination of the revelation. And these jinns, they didn't know if there's something good going on. They knew that there's some celestial event going on, but they didn't know if it was good, if it was bad. And they acknowledged that there's good people amongst the jinns and there's bad people amongst the jinns. But these particular good ones, they knew that they couldn't beat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they submitted themselves, they humbled themselves, and they believed. And, you know, tell these people of Makkah that if they were to believe, that they would get water abundantly too. And the masajid are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you shouldn't call other people other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, these were people who were making shirk in front of the Kaaba. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up in his da'wah, the jinn and men came at him hard. And, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's just going to do his job and convey, because he would tell them, who's going to save me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I have no other person to take refuge with except for him. And these people will continue to deny it until they see it. And, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he just has to tell them, I don't know when this final hour and punishment is coming, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. And he does reveal to some of his messengers knowledge, but he sends that knowledge and that revelation with guards, so the shayateen can't tamper with the message. So it's pure, and it's it reaches them with fidelity. Then we come to Surah Al-Muzammil. This surah talks about spiritual purification through prayer, and the Prophet ﷺ is told to stand up at night except for a little, and this is the very strong way to crush the nafs, because people are busy during the day. And then the Prophet ﷺ was told to be patient and let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with the people who deny. And he has chains and fire waiting for them. And the Prophet ﷺ was sent the same way as Musa ﷺ, as a witness. And if you do, and if they disbelieve, how will you save yourself on that day when kids will become old from just the horrors of that day and gray-haired? And then it talks about the Tahajjud Salah, you know, that the Prophet ﷺ would stand two-thirds of the night, half the night, one-third of the night, and others with him. But sometimes people may have different reasons why they might not be able to do as much. They might be busy, they might, you know, with their work, they might be traveling, they might be fighting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path. So then they were told to pray as much as they can. And whatever you do in terms of good, you'll find it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should seek forgiveness with Allah. Then we come to Surah Al-Mudathir. This talks about da'wah. And this is sort of the ontogeny, if you will, of, you know, how a person progresses. You want to spiritually purify yourself and then give the message, because some people they talk a lot, and, you know, they give bayans and they try to convince others, but they're not themselves following that. And we already talked about how it angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for telling other people to do things that you don't do yourself, and that is just a facet of hypocrisy. Anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told to stand and warn, to purify his clothes, to avoid impurity, not to do insincere favors, to be patient, and that the final day will not be easy for the disbelievers. And he says, leave me alone to deal with the one who I created alone. Who now, you know, grows up and denies and belies the message after all his plotting. We're told about 19 guards over the hellfire, and this is a test for the disbelievers. They just don't get it. I mean, one of them would say, they were so full of themselves that you take care of two, and he said, I'll take on 17. They said, 19, like, yeah, we can take them. I mean, if they only knew. But the believers, they understand, and they believe in it. And the hellfire itself is a great sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then the people in Jannah, they're going to ask about the criminals, and they're going to say, what drove you into the hellfire? And they're going to say that we were from those people who did not pray, and we didn't feed the poor, and we used to disbelieve in the final day. So this shows the importance of prayer, because it's number one. The first thing that it mentioned is that we did not make our salah, and the intercession of other people will not help them on their day. Each one, you know, wants, these are people who run away from reminders, and everyone wants to have some amazing sign, like a book in his own hand that came from the heaven. The sad thing is that, the sad thing is that they didn't fear the hereafter. It's just a reminder, but no one benefits from the reminder except those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. Next, we come to Surah Al-Qiyamah. And the question here is that these people say that, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do people think that we cannot join their bones again? And one of the reasons that people deny is because they want to keep continuing their life of sin even into the future. So on that day, people will be given news of what they did. And Rasulullah was told not to move his tongue. And the reason he did that, because he wanted to make sure that he memorized it when the revelation was coming to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, you don't, you know, don't do anything, just receive it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of preserving it in your heart and giving you understanding of it. Then we're painted the picture. So there's other people who let their wealth and children distract them from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spending. And then we're painted the picture of a person who's in his final moments, and they're dying, and he's now headed to his Lord. But in this life, he didn't pray, he didn't give charity, but rather he used to deny, and he used to go home with pride. And do you think that such a person will just get away with whatever they're doing? I mean, well, we were created from a vile drop, and then he made us in different stages. And isn't that being who did that able to resurrect us? Sorry, some of these notes were dictated, and sometimes the dictation is not actually accurate. So I have to go back to the verses and try to see what I was actually saying. So Surah Al-Dahr, here we're told about that there was a time where we were nothing, not even anything worth mentioning. And we came into being and were started from like a drop of semen, and then we were made into human beings. And so some people are guided to be grateful and others are ungrateful. And then we're told about the pleasures of heaven in terms of the goblets with drink and the different types of drinks and springs to drink from and garments of silk and reclining on couches in perfect climates and shades of gardens and fruits and vessels of silver that are transparent and young servants that look like scattered pearls. And these were people who used to fulfill their vows, and they used to feed others out of their love for Allah. And they didn't want any thanks, and they didn't have any ulterior motive. They did it purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they'll have bracelets of silver, and we're told not to follow the sinners and to resort to dhikr and to prayer. And these people are focused on what is immediate, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can replace them. This is a reminder, and nothing will happen except with the will of Allah. Finally, we come to Surah Al-Mursalat. Over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the clouds and the angels that what is promised will happen. The sky will split, the stars extinguished, and the prophets will be brought. And woe to the deniers. So this is a refrain that comes again and again in the surah, saying like, فَبِأَيَّ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِبَانِ. Over here, you see, وَيْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِبِينَ. So woe to the people who deny or falsify. The ones before them were destroyed. He created us from just a drop of semen, and then he made us in perfect measure, and he made the earth a receptacle for us, for the living and the dead, and he put mountains on it. And so how will it be when people are pushed to that very thing, that hellfire that you used to deny? The smoke will be a canopy that will give no shade to them, and it will not prevent them from being scorched. people are not going to have to speak on that day. We already talked about how their limbs and organs will speak against them. There's no excuses on that day. They'll be told, like, you, if you have some tricks, why don't you play your tricks right now, right? If you have something that can get you out of this mess, why don't you try to get out of the mess right now? And obviously they can't do that. The righteous will be in gardens, and they'll be eating and drinking. And the disbelievers, they're eating and drinking too. They're having a good time, but also only for a little while because it's limited to this world. They didn't bow when they could. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked, what will you believe in if you're not going to believe in this?